started bugging me a little bit Wednesday. I don't know that I'm going to use this, but I'm going to put it here just in case. I don't know what I did, if I tweaked it or it's because I didn't do anything. You know, over for the holidays, you don't get a whole lot of physical exercise. I didn't exercise at all until my back started bothering me. And then and I wasn't doing any much physical labor. So it's if I stay active and work physically, I have less problems. If I sit around and do nothing, my body just aches. And my wife says I'm just not normal. That's what she says. But anyway, so now I want you to follow with me this morning. We're going to look at several references here in a moment, so keep your Bible handy. As we start the new year, I want to challenge us anew and afresh to make sure we go into 2019 with a worthy walk. And I was reading Colossians. I was probably in the woods hunting during deer season. And I just, it's a short little book, so I just read through the book. I keep a, Mrs. Gant gave me a waterproof New Testament Bible with Psalms in it. And so it weighs a ton, but it's very handy to have outside and in the woods. If it's, it doesn't, nothing bothers it. The only problem is it is heavy, but I carry it in my fanny pack with all my other stuff. And so I sit down when I'm hunting, because there's a lot of times there's some dead time. And so I'll just read. Well, I'm reading through the book of Colossians, and I noticed about three times as I read through that the word walk happened to be in this little book. And I want you to notice these verses. Chapter 1 and verse 10, he says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. We are to walk worthy unto the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now we'll come back and pick up some of these other verses that are in here, but look at chapter 2 and verse 6. As ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, excuse me, so walk ye in him. If you skip on over to chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. We're supposed to have a walk, go back to the book of Romans, we're supposed to have a walk, chapter 13, that is pleasing to the Lord. Now, that is, there's a certain way that we live our life, not just here, but elsewhere, and we conduct ourselves in a certain way that is pleasing to the Lord. So I grabbed my concordance earlier this week, and I looked up the word walk. Well, there's a lot of times where it's used, and sometimes it's used as just a normal walk, a guy walking, a lady walking. But I looked up the ones that I felt were particularly had to do with the walk of the Lord, and I narrowed it down to the epistles. So I want you to turn to Romans, and of course chapter 4 mentions Abraham's walk of faith. In verse 12 it said, and the father of circumcision to them that are not of the circumcision, but also walk in the steps of the that faith of our father Abraham. So Abraham, we know, had a walk of faith also. But in chapter 13 particularly, I want you to look verse 11. And that knowing this, that now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the days, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. There's a right way to walk, live a Christian life, and there's a wrong way. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I won't read all of them that I wrote down, but we're going to look at, oh, you'll get the gist of it just by reading these verses, I would assume. Verse 17. But as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordained I in all churches. So it wasn't just for the churches that Paul had written letters to. It was for all the churches. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Every one of the church epistles, I think, has the word walk in it involved in some way or another. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Look at a couple more with me. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Chapter 5, verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Turn a page, if you have to verse 16 of chapter 6. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. So you've got all these. You can turn, you're right there, so look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And you can go through the book of Ephesians and find several times where it tells us to walk a worthy walk. You can go to Philippians and find where we're to walk a worthy walk. You can go to 1 Thessalonians. And in the general epistles of John and in Jude, you see the same thing over and over. Sometimes the word is used negatively, and other times it's used positively. But I can tell you this. There is a right way, and there is a wrong way for me to live my life. And there is a right way for me to walk as I follow the Lord, and there is a wrong way for me to walk as I follow the Lord. And then I'll add this too. You can't live your life any way you want to live your life. And so sometimes what happens is people come to church on Sunday, and they live this Christian life, so to speak. Maybe it's a facade, who knows. But they come in and they live a certain way, and they talk a certain way, and they look a certain way. And then when they go out into the world, all of a sudden, and I don't wear a tie every day either, okay? I'm not saying when you dress, you got to dress up like this every day. But there is, my language isn't different. The things, my hobbies aren't different as far as the things I like to talk about. There's a right way to live your life, and there's a wrong way to live your life. And so then I grab my couple dictionaries and I look the word up, and Strong says to conform to virtue and purity. To walk is proof. Your walk proves what you believe. To live a certain way. To depart from certain things and to depart from certain places. Because there's certain things that God doesn't want me to do, and there's certain places God doesn't want me to go. Vine's dictionary says signifying the whole round of activities of the individual life, either of the lost or the saved. So it has to do with the activities of our life. It applied to the observance of religious ordinances as well as moral conduct. Negatively, a Christian is not to walk after the flesh. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. I want you to turn there. Now we're going to be baptizing some people at the later, at the 11 o'clock service. And the word baptism happens to be used here, although I'm not sure this is water baptism, but we make application that way. Romans 6 and verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Well, that happens at salvation, not at water baptism. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Once a person is saved, and when they follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you know, that is a testimony of saying, you know, now I'm going to follow the Lord. That's what actually, it's the profession of faith that identifies him with Christ and all that stuff. And the one lady who's elderly will become a member of the church upon her baptism this morning. But the fact of the matter is, you are telling the Lord, fourthly, you know what, I'm going to live a pure life. I'm going to walk in newness of life. We are not to walk after the manner of men, according to 1 Corinthians 3:3. Not in the craftiness of men, in 1 Corinthians 4. Not by sight, in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we read that. Not in the vanity of the mind, in Ephesians 5:17. Not disorderly. There's a certain way that we are not supposed to walk. Now, I want you to go, you're in Romans, right? Well, look at chapter 6, then, in verse 4. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, we just read verse 4. We are to walk in newness of life. Well, part of the newness of life is that we don't serve sin. Flip a page over to chapter 8, verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We're to not walk after the flesh. We're to walk after the Spirit of God. Now, in these verses, it has to do with carnality. And living like this, living a carnal life, does not please the Lord. Now, when a person follows the Lord in baptism, he is saying, I'm going to live a pure life. Now, that, in other words, he's saying, I'm not going to live carnally. I won't live like the rest of the world. I won't live like the lost world. I'm going to have a worthy walk. I want to please God. That ought to be me. That ought to be you. And so when you go into 2019, you ought to have a new attitude and a new passion and a new desire that, you know what, I'm going to walk a worthy walk this entire year. I'm not going to go like this. up and down like a yo-yo, I'm going to have a steady, consistent, faithful walk with the Lord. Now, here's the problem, at least as I see it. Christians today are using their liberty. When we get saved, do we have liberty in Christ? Yeah, we have liberty in Christ. But they're abusing their liberty. And when you confront them, and I've had this happen to me a few occasions, when I confront them or when you talk to them, you know, that's probably not pleasing to the Lord. You know what their first response sometimes is? I have liberty in Christ. You can't use liberty as an excuse to walk an ungodly life. That's not living a godly life, or that's not living a worthy walk. And so Christians today are using liberty as an excuse. But it's entertainment. Well, there's a lot of entertainment that's not pleasing to the Lord. But I like it, Pastor. Well, my flesh likes a lot of things that's not godly. And so people say, but I have liberty. And so they'll start listening to bad music, and they'll get involved in bad entertainment, and they'll start going to wrong places. And they're not walking a, really what we would say is a worldly, is a worthy walk. Now, I want you to take your Bibles. I don't know if we read all these in Ephesians, but I want you to turn to Ephesians 4. Earlier I said the walk is mentioned both positively and negatively. Now notice in Ephesians 4, the first three verses, and then we'll skip down. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul saw himself as a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now those are things right there that we all ought to have in our life. Look what he said in verse 17. I'm going to read a lengthy passage here. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to walk uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. Those things aren't part of living for Christ. If so be that ye have heard of him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and have put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to them that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So there are a whole bunch of negative things listed there. You put those things off, and then you put the new things on that are mentioned there in verse 32. Now again, I want you to look at Philippians chapter 3. Follow the scriptures to see what God's word has to say. Verse 16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Now keep reading. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. There's something you got to mark. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, that's why sometimes we bring up people that we don't feel are very spiritually healthy for you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned unto like his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, I want you to look at one other passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Well, one other passage as for now. I don't mean one other as this is our last one. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 16. I don't know. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be, verse 10, I don't know why I said verse 16, verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Now we've read several. There's several more we could read. You notice, and I mentioned, some of these things are negative. But I want you to think about something. Every one of those that I chose are written to the what at Ephesus? The church. The what at Philippi? The church. The what at Thessalonica? The church. So even though most of you, maybe all of you, should know everything that I'm saying this morning, the fact is these things still creep into the church. And so some people come here on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night, or maybe all three services we have during the week, but when they go out there, they're not walking a worthy walk. It's easy to walk a worthy walk here. Everybody's doing it. You fit right in. But out there, you don't fit in so much. As a matter of fact, I was talking to a young man this morning. Brother DeLello called me this morning early, about 7:45. He knows I'm up early, and he calls me when I'm on the car. But anyway, we got talking about how our culture has changed. And it's amazing. I was telling about a lady that I'd witnessed to, and then he was sharing with a couple lady that he witnessed to, and they took their Bible, and the lady looked at him and said, "Who is Jesus Christ?" I mean, that's our culture. And that's becoming more and more and more normal. All of these things were written, though, to the church. Now, if we were back when Paul was writing these letters, maybe he would have wrote a letter to the church at Rome and said, "You need to walk a worthy walk. I hear there's some among you that walk disorderly. I hear there's some among you that are walking after the flesh and not after the church." It's to the churches because these things are in the churches. And the truth is, not everybody is living like they ought to. Not everybody has a worthy walk for the Lord. When Chris moved to this area several years ago, she was looking for a church. And so she went to a church that's not too far from here, and she was talking to the pastor about it. And you know what the pastor told her? "You know, you seem like a pretty strong Christian. You don't want to come to our church." That's what he told her. And he says, "Most of the people in our church are very carnal. You won't fit in here." I got to be honest, as a pastor, I would have been ashamed to give that kind of advice to anybody ever. But what an awful... I can't imagine a pastor being that honest, first of all. But good for him, I guess. Now, there are some carnal Christians out there. Now, if you have an 1828 Webster's Dictionary at home, I was at a pastor's conference recently, and the preacher said the 67th book of the Bible is the Webster's 1828 Dictionary. But anyway, you can look up the word carnal in there and carnality and all that stuff, but it basically says this: fleshly, sensual, opposed to spiritual, one who gives into indulgences. It can be the grossness of mind. People who live undisciplined lives are carnal. They spend hours doing fleshly things and they spend a few hours doing a spiritual thing here and there. They feed the flesh with excessive amounts of entertainment, video games. You know, you may be surprised at this, but I think we've had a couple young men come to RU and you know what they were addicted to? Video games. It's amazing to me that anybody can get addicted to video games at that level. Some people, of course, they'll tell dirty jokes and they laugh at jokes that are inappropriate. They say inappropriate things. They use inappropriate language. Some smoke. Some have yet to give up the idea of drinking. Perhaps some still use drugs. They go to the wrong places. That's carnality. That's just being carnal. And if you go back to 1 Corinthians 3:3, I'm not going to turn there, but it says they walk after the manner of men. We're not supposed to follow the lifestyle of the men of the world. Just because worldly, carnal people live in such a way doesn't mean that I have to, and it doesn't mean that you have to. And some people think, well, preacher, what will they think and what will they say? I don't know what they'll think. I don't know what they'll say. But should we really care? Should it really bother us if some people think, well, you're some kind of a religious fanatic or some kind of a religious freak or something, whatever, like that. This shouldn't bother you. You ought to may say, thank you. It's a compliment. Here's what I concern myself about more than what others think. What's God think? I'd rather please God than man. I think we've read that in the scriptures as well. You don't have to live after the manner of other worldly people. And just because everybody else is doing it does not mean you have to do it. Now look, if you would please, back at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. I don't know if we read this one or not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, here's some people that are, hey, we're not going to walk like that. We're not going to walk in dishonesty. We're not going to walk in craftiness. Craftiness, that word is always used in a negative, bad sense in the New Testament, every time. It's connected to deceit. But not just being deceitful. But it's also connected by living or walking a deceitful lifestyle. There are some people that try to come across as spiritual, but they're not. And you know what we call those kind of people? Hypocrites. That's what we call them. There is a measure of phoniness to them. And while you can see it or not, that's the kind of people that are out there. And sometimes they're in the church. All of these things are written to the churches. Cunning, skillful, in demising and pursuing a scheme by deceiving others or by taking advantage of their significance. I hate to say this because he is a preacher, but I think he's bad news. But I think that describes Stephen Anderson. And we've warned you more than once. You're going to get a warning this evening about that. But he's very crafty. He's very skillful. He has a scheme and he has a plan that he's come up with. And he is reaching people, and he is into churches, and he's destroying those churches. And it's a sad thing. It tells us probably manipulation would fit right in here, in craftiness. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it tells us that we are not to live by sight. Don't look and say, wow, look at that job. Look at that raise. Look at the promotions I could get. Look at the potential. Look at that nice house. Boy, I'd like to have a nice house. Brandon, when he comes back from, where's he going? Afghanistan. He has a new position up in Saranac. And that's up in Mom's old place of the country. So he's looking. He was at our house all day yesterday. He's looking on this thing maybe to buy a house. And, here's one. And it's a beautiful house. And then he looks at the price. Yeah, forget that house. That ain't happening. So it might look nice. But you know what? If you can't afford it, maybe you ought not to buy it. And then sometimes you say, look at that guy. Look at that girl. Look at that automobile. Well, instead of looking like that, you're supposed to look through the eyes of faith. What does God see? What does God want from me? What does God want from you? What does God want you to accomplish with your life? Why does God want me to be like this? Why does he not want me to be like this? Should I or shouldn't I? Look at another verse over in the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter. We didn't read most of them in Ephesians. Ephesians has a lot of them. It says in verse 17, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Hey, what's the will of God? Now, I'm going to read a lengthy passage here as well. I already read it, so we'll skip it. But you read all the way down through verse 32, which we've read. Well, maybe we didn't. Well, that's in chapter 4. Read chapter 4 again, verses 17 through 32. Flip back, I'll just read verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. People who live in the vanity of their mind live without proper purpose. They don't really have any purpose in life. There seems like all their efforts are to attain happiness, and every single one of them end in failure because they're never in the right place. Vanity is emptiness. You fill your mind with the Word of God. Our pastor used to say this. Saturate your mind with the Word of God. Fill your mind with the Word of God. Listen to good godly music. Have good wholesome conversations with people. Now in 2 Thessalonians 3, it uses another word, disorderly. Those that behave disorderly. That's what slackness. You ever hear anybody say, boy, that person's a slacker? Well, that's disorderly. That's the Bible word for it anyway. It's like a soldier who's out of rank. He's insubordinate in his spirit. Has to do with idleness, being a busybody. What I'm saying is there is a way Christians ought not to live, and we put those things off, and then we put those things, other things that we're supposed to live, we put those on. There is a certain way we're supposed to live. Now, let's go back to Colossians where we started in chapter 1. We read verse 10. I want you to back up a verse to verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is the key to walking a worthy walk. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, the word in verse 9, wisdom. Wisdom is accurate perception into the true meaning of things. And understanding is a skillful application of this wisdom in a practical situation. And how do you use it? How does it apply to your life? Verse 10 expresses the reason that in verse 9, Paul wants the Colossians to obtain the knowledge of God's will. So they walk a worthy walk. It is that they live properly. And that they live to fully please God. Now, how do I walk a worthy walk? Well, first of all, you increase in the knowledge of God. You get to know the Lord better and better and better and better. You just get to know God. Remember what Paul said in the book of Philippians chapter 3? Now, here's Paul. You would think if anybody knew God, it would have been Paul, right? And he says, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul, don't you think you know God enough? No. I need to know him better. You get to know the Lord better and that better. Then you become stronger and stronger as a Christian. Your faith increases. You learn to trust him with all of your heart. You forget about leaning on your own understanding. You trust the Lord. You develop a habit of giving thanks. That's absolutely critical to a worthy walk. You learn to say, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You express thanks to God consistently. And you have a productive Christian service. You serve the Lord somewhere, somehow, some way. Now those four things help you develop a worthy walk. You serve the Lord through the church. Everybody in the church, when it comes to a worthy walk, is involved in a ministry of the local church somewhere. Then you increase in your knowledge of Him. Now how do you do that? Well, you spend time in God's Word. You read the Bible. You faithfully and consistently, read the Bible. I just finished reading my Bible yesterday some people keep track of how many times they've read their Bible. I have no idea how many times I've read my Bible through. This last year I read it, the New Testament through, and then I went back and read the Old Testament, New Testament, then I went back and read, not all this year, then I did the New Testament again, now I'm going back to Genesis. You read your Bible. You're faithful to church services. You'll learn more Bible in church, probably than anywhere. There's sort of the Lord's out there. They have good sermons in them. There are devotion books that people grab from time to time that are out there. There's two different ones that we have available. Just take them. Take that information and read it. You increase in your knowledge. You serve Him. Thirdly, you get spiritually stronger and stronger as you learn to live and trust the Lord by faith. Well, how am I going to do that? Well, I'm going to have a situation here in my life and I'm just going to trust God in it. Well, God works that out. That increases my faith. So there's another thing I'm going to do, and I'm going to trust God with that too. And that increases my faith. And then fourthly, be in the habit of giving thanks. Listen, in 1 Corinthians 7:17, we read that one. God has a walk for all of us. It's a walk of faith. It's a walk in the Spirit to where you're filled with the Spirit of God. And then in Galatians 6:16, a worthy work produces purpose and it produces peace. Ephesians tells us in chapter 5 and verse 2, we're to walk in love. Verse 8 says we are to walk as God's child. Now, do you have a particular way? Think about this as a parent, if you're a parent. Do you have a particular way you want your children to live their life? How many people want their kids to become drug addicts, alcoholics, immoral? I had a lady the other day, a couple weeks ago in my office, and she was telling me about one of her daughters and how immoral she is. I can't imagine a parent having to. Yeah, she didn't have to tell me that. I'm not sure why she volunteered that information, quite honestly. But why would... That doesn't make her proud. Nobody wants their kids to turn out that way. There's a certain way you want your kids to live a life. God has a certain way that He wants His children to live their life. And then, if you would, look it over there at Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 15, I believe it is. I might be wrong. I don't even know if I got it written down anywhere. Where does it say walk circumspectly? Is it? See that? Oh, I'm looking right at it. So where is that? Seeing then that, because I was looking at verse 16. Seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We're to walk circumspectly. What's that word mean? Yeah. Watch carefully how you live your life. Watch very carefully how you live your life. You know, it's easy to get caught up in things you ought not to be involved in. Especially when you're young and you look out there and say, look at all the fun those people are having. But then you think, well, maybe that's not the wisest thing for me to do. You're watchful. Maybe I ought not to be involved in those things. Now, there's more verses. I think everybody kind of gets what I'm trying to say. Let's determine to walk a worthy walk. Let's be real. Let's do away with hypocrisy. Let's be faithful. Let's be consistent, filled with the Spirit of God. Let's consistently and constantly live for the Lord. Be steady. Don't be up and down. Well, preacher, why? So you can please the Lord. So you can please God. I've said this before, but I'll say it again this morning. You're living in a world that knows nothing about the Bible. Our culture has changed. I've mentioned that 3 or 4 times over the last month. And I was talking to Tim about it this morning, and he said, boy, you're not kidding. You might be the only Bible that people will read. Before I was a Christian, when I was 22, I never picked up a Bible. I never read one page of the Bible. Never one time. Why not? The nuns and the priests told me I shouldn't. It was bad. And I didn't want to get my hand slapped any too many extra times with that little ruler that lady carried around, that nun. So I decided not to take her advice on that one and not read it. And I never read a page of my Bible until I was 22. The only reading of the Bible I ever heard was when we were in the Mass and they would say a reading from the Gospel of or whatever they did that. Does it? I never picked up a Bible. It was bad news. My dad would carry a Bible in his motorcycle, the saddlebag on the side there. You know why he carried his Bible in there? Good luck. He didn't carry it there to read. He never read it. He carried it there for good luck. The Bible, listen, I hope you're not carrying your Bible around for good luck. We're supposed to carry our Bible around, so we read it. By the way, we had given to us, I don't want to give them all away because I don't want, but they're little New Testaments. They're like this big. They're beautiful pocket-sized soul winner New Testaments. They're in the book library back there. They fit right into your shirt pocket or your sport coat pocket nicely, comfortably, or thin. They're nice. The print's a little bit fine, but not too awful bad. But there's some back there somebody gave us. If you want one, you can go ahead and take one. Don't take five or six. Don't be greedy. But if you want one and you're a witness and you want to use it to soul win and you're going to carry it with you and you're going to read it, take one. But other than that, don't take one. So I'm going to get one carried in my car for good luck. You know, that's not what it's all about, man. But they are back there and they're nice. And I took one myself. And it's nice to carry in the pocket. And it's a nice soul winner's Bible. But we want to please the Lord. Now I want you to look at one. This it will be the one last passage of Scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. But it is a true fact that you might be the only Bible that some people read. I mean, you're coming across more and more people that when you ask them who's Jesus, they don't even know. They don't even know why they have Christmas. Except everybody else does, so we do. And everybody else gives presents, so we do. And everybody else gets presents, so we get presents. That's all they know. Now I want you to notice here, verse 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You are not your own. You do not have a right to live your life any way you want to live your life. Verse 20, for we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We do not have a right to live as we'd like to. Let me say one last thing. Can I walk a worthy walk? Yes. Can you walk a worthy walk? Yes. If you're a child of God, if you're saved, you get filled with the Spirit of God, you can walk a worthy walk. It wouldn't be smeared all over the New Testament if it was an impossible thing for us to do. You can please the Lord. I can please the Lord. God will give you everything you need to walk a walk that's pleasing to Him. He'll give you a life of love and thoughts and deeds and words that are pleasing and they're worthy of Him. You can do it. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And you can fulfill that purpose and that plan. You surrender. You give yourself to the Lord. You dedicate yourself to the Lord today if you've never done that. You do it today. You get saved. You follow the Lord in believer's baptism, and then you follow Him, and you walk worthy of the Lord. Now let's have every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around. I wonder, is that your goal? Is that your goal? 2019, very simple, practical. That's one of the simplest messages you'll ever hear, I think. Simple message. But make a commitment today to walk a worthy walk. Well, I've done that before. Well, do it again. Make it afresh and make it anew. Make it a desire of your heart and a passion of your heart that you're going to walk a worthy walk for the Lord, pleasing to Him. Every word you say, every place you go, every thought you have, everything you do, and when you mess up, and you will, keep short account of your sin, confess it right away, and just keep walking a worthy walk. Father, I pray now for our church. I mean, obviously our church wasn't around then, but Paul could have wrote a letter, could have been to the church of Rome. Every one of those letters that we looked at this morning were to the church. And so we now come and ask you to speak to our hearts. If there's one person here or later today that's not walking a worthy walk, that they've got some hypocrisy going on in their life, I pray you deal with them with it. That they'll get their life right with you. They'll walk a worthy walk, a life that's pleasing to God. They'll put off the old man. They'll put on the new man. And Lord, that you'll work a work of grace. I pray you bless them. Bless our church this coming year. May we see more people saved than we did last year. May we see more people baptized and added to the church than we did last year. May you grow all of us spiritually, that we may have the same attitude that Paul had, that I might know him. May every child of God find a place to serve you through the local church. And may you use us to let the light of the gospel shine throughout. Help us to live a godly life, one that is pleasing to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed, faith plays. Would you make a commitment today that 2019, you will live, and you will live a life worthy, pleasing to the Lord. There might be some specific areas you talk to the Lord about. Maybe you're witnessing, you're soul winning. Maybe your prayer life. Maybe you're not a good Bible reader. Maybe you're not consistent with that or faithful with that or whatever. Let the Lord know you're going to walk a worthy walk. You're going to be doing these things. You're going to get to know him, like Paul said. You're going to find a place to serve him. If you're not serving him somewhere, find a place to serve him. Witness to people. Share the gospel. Well, Father, I pray that we will please you with our mind, with our words, with our actions. We'll walk a worthy walk. We'll live a life that you can look down and say, well done. May every Christian, every Christian, make that a desire this year coming up, that this will be a great year for them to follow you, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll get ready for Sunday school.